Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Save big money at Menards. Keep your lawn looking its best with Menards' premium four-part fertilizer program. Each step is tailor-made for the health of your lawn. Get started this spring with a bag of crabgrass preventer with lawn food. Apply just once early in the spring to feed your lawn for over 2 months. Pick it up in our garden center today and check out Menards.com for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there. Before we get going today, I want to give you guys a few discount codes for our products and our show sponsors. So please don't just zip through this. If you're listening to the podcast, we at Hardwick Life want to reward you for your loyalty. So take 25% off your order of any of our products at hardwick.life by using the code HardwickFF25. That's HardwickFF25. Because we consider you friends and family. That's FF. That's Hardwick FF25. And the website is hardwick.life. It's like hardwick.com, but it's hardwick.life. In case you've missed it, we've lowered the price of that Lose Like a Lineman and Lose Like a Lady program all the way down to just $25. That's a one-time fee. It's not monthly. It's not recurring. And yes, because you listen to this podcast, that Hardwick FF25 code will take 25% more off of that. So if you want me to do the math for you, that's $18.75. And the Facebook support group is now $0. Why? Because I get a bigger kick out of seeing people reclaim their health and reclaim their lives than I do making money. So why not make it free, Nick? That's what you may ask. Because I do believe it has to sting a little bit in order for you to make it happen. If it's free, you're going to treat it like it's free, which means it's going to end up in the recycle bin. The psychological term for that would be called the opt-in. Also, thank you to the show sponsors and products that I've been using for years now. Bubs Naturals and Julian Bakery, both are tremendous products. I highly recommend them both. For 20% off of Bubs Naturals, use the code HARDWICK20 at BubsNaturals.com. And for 10% off of Julian Bakery, use code Nick Hardwick. That's just my name. Nick Hardwick at julianbakery.com. And lastly, if you love this show and it benefits your life in any way at all, even if it's a tiny way, please rate and review us wherever you listen to the show. Something as simple as a 5-star rating, not asking too much, and a love this show, Jamie is the best, will help boost our rating so more people can see us. And who knows, maybe their life gets better too. Thank you guys. Now let's get to the show. Hey guys, welcome to the Hardwick Life Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hardwick. So as we head into the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend, I wanted to break down some of these upcoming matchups, learn a little bit more, and perhaps heal and process the Chargers' loss to the Raiders this past weekend when they were in a win and in situation. I know there was a lot of questions about a fourth down call. There was a lot of questions about a timeout late in the game. What cost the Chargers ultimately that game? I also genuinely wanted to understand their head coach's decision-making process a little bit better, like being super aggressive on fourth down, not just in this last game when Brandon Staley chose to go for one on fourth and one from their own 18 or 19 with like a little over 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, down by three. They didn't get it. As you Charger fans know, it ended up costing them 3 points. So thankfully the defense held. Cynthia and I break this down a little bit. So I brought in one of my favorites from the NFL Network. Her name is Cynthia Freeland. She is the NFL media's first analytics expert. She can be seen across a variety of NFL media shows and platforms. You can see her every Sunday on NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning. That starts at 9 a.m. Eastern. And don't miss some of her fascinating work. Also at the network, search Game Theory Cynthia Freeland to see how she uses her mathematical models to predict wins, losses, scores, and other fun facts. And as you'll learn, the teams she predicted would be in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year are still her predictions right now as we head into week one of the playoffs. You can follow Cynthia at C Freeland. That's C F R E L U N D. And on Instagram at Cynthia C Y N T H I A Freeland on Instagram. And be sure to Google some of that work. Game Theory, NFL Network. Super awesome. So we get into a bunch of it. I learn a lot. Cynthia's really cool to learn from. So I think you guys, if you don't know her, if you aren't aware of her, you'll start watching her show because she provides tremendous insight. All right, guys, enjoy. Cynthia, thank you. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. And I've got some healing to do getting over that Chargers loss to the Raiders and that win and in situation. It could have been a tie. Both teams could have been in. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we get started, give us a little snapshot of your background. I mean, it's super interesting, I think, of how you got to the NFL Network, how you've carved your niche in there, and where you're from. How did this all happen? It's pretty awesome.
I don't really know. And don't follow my path is the thing I tell people, because it's very low probability path. But I was an investment banker after college, and I then went to business school. And then my business school summer, I cold emailed the CFO of the NFL at the time. His name's Anthony Noto. He's now at SoFi, CEO of SoFi. Anyways, so I went to go work for him and in a banking capacity, financial strategy capacity. And I started working on a bunch of projects. One was moving two teams to LA. One was what's the right configuration of games 17-3, 16-4, preseason, meaning, you know, regular and pre. And we found in that project that the ideal configuration would be 17 with three preseason, but one preseason in a neutral location. So we'll see if that one kind of comes true after COVID is over, which to gain new fans and, you know, smaller markets like that maybe don't have a pro team that have a lot of fan avidity, right? Like think of like
where San Antonio. Yeah, where are we thinking? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, like places like that, like places like Oklahoma City, San Antonio, like places where people love football, but maybe like Birmingham, Alabama loves football, but they don't have a pro team. So doing neutral location preseason games so that new fans can come, which I think is actually really cool. It should be fun for everyone. Hopefully that actually happens. And then I was doing that and, you know, went back to finish business school. And when I got done with business school, the lockout was happening, which means that you can't get like health insurance, whatever. So then I went to Disney, which, because one of the projects I worked on was a failed joint venture between ESPN Classic and the NFL Network. So there's that. I worked in like a real finance capacity there, doing like mergers and acquisitions, tech acquisitions. I learned how to code. I have a master's of predictive analytics in addition to my MBA. So I learned how to code, kept in touch with my coaches. Because when we were doing all these things, like, you know, the competition committee was like, well, it only works for money if we can make it last for people, teams to be playoff eligible longer. But that means that players have to be safe and you need your quarterback and you need your, you know, all these different things. So it's really like the equation wasn't just more games equals more money. It was like more competitive games in higher value markets. So I got a chance to learn football from Hall of Fame coaches, which is awesome. And then I could convert it to, I found that like my niche was like, I'm a translator. I could translate coach speak to, you know, a financial model. And that's how I started to work on that. And then, you know, path through Disney, then an opportunity on the innovation technology team at ESPN opened up. Disney owns ESPN. I moved from Southern California to West Hartford, Connecticut. And then worked on that team. And then Paul DePodesta gets hired by the Browns and no one knows how to talk about it on TV. And then poof, I get a chance to start talking on TV about it. And DraftKings came along at the same time. So we kind of had this confluence of like ways to use numbers.
Yeah. And it seems like you're ahead of the curve when it came to analytics and getting into kind of that market, which is super cool. I guess, I don't know if you ever could have dreamt this job coming to fruition as you're going through your educational path, as you're working for SoFi and coming up through all this.
I went to medical school and dropped out. Like this is not the path I would take, tell people to take. Don't do that. Like these are expensive mistakes.
Circuitous, but hey, you made it. So super cool. All right. A couple of questions that I have that came out of that. Which NFL coach did you learn the most from in your time getting to watch some film with them?
Sean Payton.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
a really great teacher. Like what the concepts, and you know what? I would say Sean Payton on offense and then probably Todd Bowles on defense, because just it's, you have to remember, part of being an exceptional coach, and you know this, is being an exceptional teacher. So the people That's who right. can make the references in and communicate in a way where you're like, oh, like that's all that is. Like, you know, like I remember stupid questions I would ask because I wasn't afraid. I was never afraid to ask questions. Like, I'm like, why is it a sluggo? Why isn't it a slaggo? Because I'm like, where's the U come from? And then they're like, we don't know. Like,
we don't have an answer for that.
Like, that's a good question. Cause I was like, it should be a slaggo. Like, I don't, anyways, but you know what I'm saying? Like these things are.
Yeah. Things like that. Yeah.
So,
but you weren't afraid to ask the question. And so I'm sure your knowledge got way deeper by doing that. And I always, one, I respect the crap out of Sean Payton's offenses and what he did with Drew and obviously setting tons of records. And then Todd Bowles, Todd was wildly aggressive as a coordinator. And I loved what he does. I thought he kind of set the trend on this as zero blitzes in the high red zone to keep you out of field goal range. I thought that was a trend that he started and other coaches have since kind of picked up on that.
He also does a good thing of like, you know, in we're about to enter, you know, obviously it's the playoffs, but we're about to enter draft season and everyone does comps. He's the next blah, 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 blah. Well, Todd kind of does that sort of like, when he explains things like his bull rush is like blah. And then his, you know, pass rush is like blah. Like it just really, like he would always do like the analogies were always, and they, I'm gonna be honest with you. We need to have the combine this year again in person because your girl needs a tune up. Like I call and ask watching in person with someone and be like, cause now everyone's using the slot differently. The way that like the number of, we start to look at when with the stats, like, teams who are able to execute outside the numbers, like receptions on deep passes, like that is such a huge advantage, but why? Why can't they not? And what's going on? Like, what's the strategy? And what does a coverage linebacker do? Like in this situation, like these are, I mean, I'm not afraid to admit that I don't know the answers. Like always, like I can watch it and I can say, this is what I think is happening, but I'm not calling the plays. So like might as well cheat and ask the person who is actually calling the plays, like what they're doing, you know? So
yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, there are so many dynamics that change over even like 2 and 3 years that if you don't stay up on those trends or don't necessarily understand conceptually why they work, I mean, even I have questions. So
tons of questions. I have a million questions and it's, I mean, we can do it on Zoom and like the coaches have been my favorite. I have a whole bunch and, you know, listen, sometimes they get fired and you get to talk to them more often. Doesn't mean they're bad.
Doesn't mean that, yeah.
You know, they can still teach you a bunch too. So, you know, I'm very fortunate that a lot of the coaches that are not playing anymore are willing to take the time. You know, I've got a couple who are like Mike Martz disciples. I've got a couple who are, you know, the you got to get all the different trees, the Parcells trees. Like, you have to get the different trees so you can understand the different philosophies. Like, I mean, Matt Patricia really explained to me showing like, you know, the pre-snap, like showing different leverages than you're actually going to play. Like he explained that to me so freaking well, like, which was, you know, I know that he now, he plays, he's still coaching, but he plays in a really structured defense with Bill Belichick. But like, you know, the way that he was constructing and the way he thinks of it conceptually, it's always so interesting, you know?
And now when you watch, can you see it? Can you see the game unfolding better?
Yeah. And I can also see who they trust and who they don't, which is really funny. And it's very
actually who they're trying to protect.
What's that?
Who they're trying to protect.
Yeah. And like, well, and who they think is their, like this entire, I mean, the Steelers come to mind. Their whole defense was built around TJ Watt this year. It really was. Like, you know, the whole, there's a reason he got that sack record, you know, and there's a way that like in his, it, you know, they were not rushing. They were not blitzing a ton. They were like 20th in the blitz and they were able to get pressure at like a really high rate, just rushing four. Why? Well, because Cam Hayward took out all of the nonsense in the middle and, you know, TJ Watt was able to get like, so it just was, it was an interesting, you start to see like, okay, they like Cam and they like him, like, got it. Like we know, like they trust him to do this and they're asking him, got it. That's how that works.
Cynthia, do we need to put little caveats on the records that are being broken now? Like, shouldn't we kind of just start from like here?
We should.
Like this is year zero.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start somewhere. I'm not like anti, you know, older records, but like, I don't think it's a bad thing to be like, this was an era when we had 16 games. And this is what, because the same thing with the Dolphins and their unbeaten record, like that was a different era. Like, you know, it's, and they're like, oh, we popped champion. It was very different now. Like if they would have played that many games, unlikely that they would have been undefeated. Like, so there's nothing wrong. It's like the evolution of our sport and game, but I don't think it's not an apples to apples comparison. Like Strahan still has that record for me. And it was also,
yeah, me too.
Think about it also strategically, even if we only had 16 games, teams are passing so much more than they were in the time when Strahan had that. So like now you do it on the percentage of pass rushing snaps and you're like, wow, that guy's like, wet. It's just, it's not close. Like, and I'm not being mean to TJ Watt. He's freaking awesome. But like, yes, it's a different game. It's, we only have the supply of players who are coming out of college and we only have the, you know, the demand is that, and the supply is, you know, demand is win games. Supply is who's coming out of college. Like you can't, you know, you can't change it back.
And they're only playing in the construct of the game that they've been given. So they're doing an amazing job with the game that they've been given for sure.
But there's nothing wrong. Like this isn't a knock on, it's not a knock on anything.
No, no way.
This is the game. And like, I'd rather talk about like past 3-4 years, like why is Aaron Donald actually more of a threat than TJ Watt? And they play a different position, right? Inside, outside. Like, those are better questions for me because they're playing in a more strategically similar time. So how do you look at the use case there? That's different. That's an, that's more interesting to me than like Strahan to TJ. It's like,
sure,
like when people try to talk about LeBron versus MJ, you're like, different time.
Can't do it. Can't do it. Yeah. Okay. One more from kind of your bio and your background. Do you think we're ever going to get to 18-2? And what did the analysis break down? How did that work?
You know, the 18-2 was marginally not that different. So the thing is seven teams going to the postseason. That is key because you need to have a balance between how many games it takes to make the playoffs with how many teams are in the playoffs. Like if you only had six teams going to the playoffs, it actually doesn't matter. Like that extra game would have been less impactful because in theory, remember, you have to remember, like as a Chargers fan, you're going to watch all the Chargers games, but we have to remember like nationwide, a lot of people are like casual fans who just want to watch a good game. Maybe they're not, you know, I think of that Monday nighter between the Chiefs and the Rams, like a couple of years ago, like,
oh my God, 105 points scored.
Right. You didn't have to be a Chief or a Rams fan to enjoy that game. And that got monster ratings. Right. So it's more about like, how do you get the balance of, you know, like the right number of teams going to the playoffs? Cause this year we kind of got it right. Meaning this was the longest year that that teams were playoff eligible, not just the last week, but like more teams were playoff eligible for longer. You got all your seven teams in there. We have a wild card weekend that includes 3 days of football. How happy are we? And then, you know, and so that's kind of like, you know, you're kind of at a point now where you're like, okay, we'll see how this nets out because there's diminishing returns after that. Cause remember injuries, every game you don't play, you're not going to get injured. Not from the game at least. Right. So, so, you know, you've got concerns like that. So it's kind of finding the right balance. It seems like we're on to something. I just like that third preseason game being in a neutral location because you have to attract new fans and you have to make it easy for them to be fans because unfortunately it's very expensive. And some of these cities that the games are in are incredibly like expensive cities. So it's not like, you know,
it's not approachable for everybody.
Yeah.
Which organizations do you know, like which ones are most reliant, I guess, or which ones incorporate analytics the most?
Every single organization incorporates analytics. The degree to which they're good at it and the degree to which they call it analytics and the degree to which they recognize it as like how they view it is wildly variant. You know, I think the Ravens probably have what I would call like the gold standard of structure because it's defined their roles have like the other, it's like a lot of times just organizationally speaking, like if somebody knows what my job is, they can come ask me for something in my own organization, right? Like if they know what I'm supposed to be doing, like if I'm head of marketing, they know to come to me about marketing concerns, right? They're not going to come to me, but if they don't know what analytics is supposed to be doing, then like, if you don't have that definition, it's going to be very hard always to have the output of something interesting to provide, right? The utility is not necessarily there. So the Ravens structure it really well, and they have really brilliant minds there. The Browns do as well. The Browns have probably, they have a really interesting, they have an interesting like thing going on because they have different sort of legacies because they've had many different people like sort of running it. And then, but they've got Paul who's really, really smart. The Chargers have taken a big step forward this year. They do it a little different. We can talk about that because I think it's an interesting, they use it in more of the definition of who they were initially in this beginning of the season. And then like right. going for our fourth down, we are an aggressive team. We're going for our fourth down. And then they didn't really adapt, which is kind of the part of analytics that is that's the sauce right there is like how you can keep the contextual, you know, stuff going week by week and opponent by opponent, as opposed to just defining it as your thing and then just letting other people adjust. The Chiefs are quite good at it, especially in their front office. And then, you know, every team has, and the Bills have a pretty solid foundation as well.
So when it's used at its highest and best use, what is that? What does it look like? And how would a fan, I guess, recognize that?
When it's used at its best case, a fan wouldn't notice it. Meaning a fan, like, and that's the rub. So the idea is that all you're doing is you're taking your, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of it, but like, again, it's still my opinion. You know, my coach at Neutral Brain on Wednesday at, you know, noon when they're watching film and they're not in the heat of the moment and it's not loud. And, you know, you don't know if your right tackle has been getting just absolutely decimated. You know, that I saw that happening, you know, like when that doesn't, when Max Crosby just owns him, right? Like that's when that's not happening and you're not trying to, you make neutral decisions. Oh, maybe this would be a play that would be good. Maybe we adapt in this way. I didn't think of it at the time. Like take your neutral brain and program what you would do in those situations and then just use that context along with what's actually going on. It's a tool to help you make better decisions based on using a neutral, unbiased opinion of your own brain, but a lot of data to support it as well, right? Take historical data of teams that looked like the Chargers versus teams that looked like the Raiders defense. How did the offense work together? Whatever, you know, like use historical reference points to help you make the best decision given the context of what's actually going on.
And when it's used poorly, you kind of alluded to it early. What is that? What does it look like?
You are not all it is a framework to know if you're making a higher or lower probability decision. You can make the decision no matter what, right? Like the Eagles, they're Doug Peterson with a Philly, like that was a low probability decision, but he knew it was a low one, but he chose it anyways and it paid off, right? So it's less about whatever the outcome is, the strategy of how you're making a decision matters. The outcome kind of doesn't. That's very hard to understand for all of us right. and everyone in every life. Like it's always that, like, you know, if you work out every single day, you're in a much better opportunity to be in good shape than like just randomly, you know, than if you're not, right? Like, so it's not the outcome. It's the strategy and the decisions that go behind it. So when it goes poorly, it's decisions that don't logically fit or have a reason that wants, like, we all have the same mission, win a football game, right? So if you're making decisions that are making it harder for you to win a football game, that's when you've gotten yourself in a data cluster and you're not making decisions that help you achieve your one and only goal.
And I guess that's kind of where I struggle with it a little bit, is that there's so many variables and inputs that come in during a game. Like you talked about, you know, the right tackle's getting massacred over here. We have a matchup that we like, and maybe that encourages us to go for it a little bit. Or we saw something on the last play that, hey, they had a little weakness here and we have a play designed specifically for that. But I guess where I struggle with it, and coming from under Marty Schottenheimer, the philosophy was always right. It's any play that ends in a kick is a good one, whether it's a PAT, a field goal, or a punt is a good play. And then it was always a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. So take the field goal or take the extra point to a point, right? Until, like, it was always, I would call it point procrastinating. So it was always take the points while you can, while they're available, and then push them back until, hey, I don't have to go for two yet, so I'm not going to go for two, because these, like, I think when you look at the chart, it's like, well, yeah, we're down two. If we kick one, we're down one. Or if we kick an extra point, we're down one. But if we miss two, sometimes I'm in my head, I'm like, just take the points, but I'm super safe. So help me process, like.
So there's a couple things. You nailed it when you said anything that ends in a kick is good, right? That was the mentality and that was the install. And you weren't practicing fourth down plays, and it wasn't something where in, like, you weren't that. Now there's something behavioral. I've spent a lot of time in the past 2 years, did a lot of, like, you know, performance. Now I'm looking at behavioral things too. Very interesting. And people make a lot of mistakes with those. All of us, but especially yes. in plays. Like, it's interesting. It's interesting to see now, like, if you practice it, what I think the Chargers got totally right. They practiced it. It felt normal. It didn't feel like this, oh my goodness, like, it's going to be so scary. We shouldn't be doing this. It's like contrarian to everything we've been taught all week long, or we absolutely need this or else we're going to lose, like this whole thing, right? It's a different mindset if you practice and you've taken reps in that. And in the beginning of the season, the reason why what the Chargers was doing was working so well was because they were exploiting mismatches. The defense was set for something different. They were able to exploit that thing. Now the problem is that the defense is caught up and then the offense didn't, like, the chess move, the defense caught up and then they didn't have a chess move back, the next chess move, and which I think they'll have next year. So gotcha. There's differences there, but I, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, the analytics say to go for it. The analytics say not to, I don't know that. I know, like, it's different for every, like, I can tell you what from historical reference point was right, but I don't know how beat up your right tackle is, but I can tell you that there are certain things that, like, if a quarterback gets pressured, then on the next play, what happens? It's not just the quarterback who has it, there are implications for that. Was your receiver blocking? Was he untouched? Like, there's some things that you have to kind of keep track of, because, you know, the behavioral stuff, like, it is hard to get beaten up playing and play. It's just, it's hard. Like, everyone gets tired and it sucks. Like, so it's you have to sometimes call, like, a run that's going to help out. And the Chargers' main problem was, they were doing these aggressive things early, which is a good strategy. If that's your strategy and you implement it, the problem is if you're going to do that, you have to stop the run. Otherwise, then you're all of that good work that you put in earlier in the game, they control the clock. So you're okay. So you went for it on fourth down. You extended the possession. Maybe you got two more minutes, whatever. You ended it, even if it ends in a kick, you shoot up two more minutes off the clock. Now that can come around and bite you if you are not stopping the run, because then they control the clock.
That's the bottom line in that game. I mean, a lot of people want to squabble over whether he should have called the timeout with like 38 seconds to go or not or whatever. I mean, I think Bisaccia was still going to kick. He was still going to kick the field goal. I think within like reason, of course, he wasn't going to kick a 57 yarder. Or I think a 53 may have been like tough to kick.
Jacob's run was the nail in the coffin. It was that last Josh Jacobs run that was the nail. Like, that was it. Like, after that, they weren't like going to be like, you know what, let's just nail it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's play nice against our hated rival. And there is something about like upholding the standards of the game. And they're, and I know Bisaccia, I'm sure he's a great coach and a great guy and I love him. And I think he's going to get a chance next year, which I'm super excited about. Yeah. But and I think he would have held up the code of the game is you got to try to kick the field goal. Maybe not 57 because things can go wrong there.
Once we got to overtime, I was like, please just kneel it down. Like, it's too good. But that's just because I like the rarity, the mathematical rarity. Like, by the way, yeah. It didn't matter no matter what the outcome of that game was, the playoffs weren't decided till the very final snap of the very final game in the longest season ever. So like, we like pretty cool, but
it's cool.
Really cool. So like, and it's I was cool. At the Rams and Niners game. Whew, that was a really good one as well.
What? Yeah. So that I love that game, and the Ram or the Niners seem to have gotten kind of hot at the right time. Jimmy G scares me a little bit in the playoffs, just especially with throws over the middle. I mean, the ones that are just slightly beside the in-cutting receiver, the slants, the digs, it's like those are so – every time he throws one, I hold my breath. But I think they're good enough. What do you see? I mean, this question's really for my producer, who is a massive Niners fan. What do you expect to see out of them?
I think that they go – and this is going to sound completely weird, but – I think they go the way of their defense. So when you look to see what their defense has been doing, they rush only with four. I'm very, this year, I'm very interested in teams that don't need to blitz to get pressure, because that's my strategy, especially for them. They are not, they're weaker on their back end of their defense on the front. I mean, listen, you got a Bosa up front. We got it. Like, it's not, not breaking news or being mean here, but what happens is they're very high risk, high reward for a team that feels like offensively feels like a, like you, they run it and they're like, you know, football, Kyle Shanahan, like, you know, like outside zone rushing, like that kind of thing. On defense, they're kind of high risk, high reward, because when they bring pressure, they either get a sack or they're giving up crazy passes in it. So they kind of, to me, go the way of their defense. It's not really about, I mean, their offense is good. And I know, like, we all think about the quarterback and it coming down to that, but I don't know. It might be their coverage for me that really crushes them, because look at who their opponents are going to be. I mean, you know, first the Cowboys, which are a very beatable team for them. And,
that's right.
And but then it's like NFC West. It's going to be NFC West opponent again, whoever wins between, you know, the Cards or the Rams. So here we go. Like, and the Cardinals are a worse matchup for them than the Rams.
So Sean McVay's undefeated against the Cardinals, 8-0, 4-0 against Kingsbury. Is this the time? Can Arizona finally get over the hump?
So I wanted to say yes. I love a lot of their, so again, I've been looking at these defenses, because I think, look, obviously everybody would be happier in Arizona if DeAndre Hopkins were playing. Duh. But
That's right.
But apart from that, I mean, Kyler's taken this massive step forward this year, massive, under pressure against the blitz. This kid's just like doubling his completion percentage, doubling his quarterback rating, like double it, like really, really took a huge step forward this year, which is great. Also helps to have, you know, Rodney Hudson up front, just saying. But
he's so underrated.
Underrated.
He's I feel like he always has been.
I mean, yes. Like when they stole him from, I mean, he obviously wanted to leave the Raiders, and he's like, yep, I'll come there. No big deal. Like, okay. But the interesting part, and I really like Vance Joseph as a human. This is not a knock on him, but I've watched several games now. They play this 44 defense and then to try to stop the run. And then teams will figure it out, and then they won't change their defensive approach. And it is maddening, because I don't understand. Like, you don't let, like, it wasn't the first, Rashad Penny wasn't the first person to run roughshod over them to figure out that situation. So that was it was confusing to me.
All right. This is the first time Monday Night Football, Super Wild Card Weekend, sexiest game by the numbers.
I think it is. I don't know. Like, I kind of like the Niners. I'm going to be watching the Niners Cowboys a little bit too. Like, that one's sexiest game for me. Like, I think those are the two that are most likely to upset, right? Like, the, you know, the away team wins. I think the Cardinals actually pull it off. And, you know, it's an interesting, I mean, they're out here last time they did it, but, you know, I don't know. Like, this one's interesting to me, because I want to see, I've seen a lot of weird stuff. Matthew Stafford's actually like, I'm from Michigan. I want Matthew Stafford to win a playoff game. I'm gonna.
Seems like a great guy.
See, it's not personal. It's not a. It's like this.
Exactly right. Yeah.
But I don't know if this is the one that they win, because for whatever reason, the way that whatever Buda Baker's doing to make it so that Cooper Kupp is not as big of a factor, and whatever they're doing to figure, like, that whole like weird middle of their defense roving thing that they've got going on, you know, with Isaiah Simmons and Buda Baker, like, that is like special. And it's confounding to a lot of offenses. So with it, and I'm not suggesting they don't have a consistent run game, but they don't have Sony Michel's played really well, but like, and obviously they got Cam Akers back, but I wouldn't call it super consistent. Their O-line has had points where they've been really beaten up, even though they have my favorite left tackle in the entire league. It doesn't matter that their O-line can get a little beat. So I don't know. The Matthew Stafford turnovers thing is I saw it last game. It once the pressure started coming, it was hard to recover and get back on the other side of it. I mean, that's how the Niners completely took that game away from them.
I feel, I love Andrew Whitworth. I feel so bad for his body. I'm 40. He's 40. We're the same age. I'm like, dude, save yourself. Get the heck out of there.
Like the nicest people on the planet too. I love their whole thing. I interviewed him. It was funny. Like I was so little, awesome. Like I'm looking up at him, I'm like, okay. So the night, but like, and I love him, but like that whole, like that, it's a lot. I mean, and he's doing well. It's not about him, but yes. That line in general is not. The Rams are interesting to me because their number ones, they've got, their starters are freaking great, but then the depth is not there because they kind of, you know, they spent all this money on these like number. I mean, no, to me, no one's better in the league than Aaron Donald, and it's not close. And I understand he doesn't have most sacks, but the number of times he gets double, triple, quadruple teamed is massive and it changes games. But you know, you need, and I get it. Von Miller's there. Got it. I'm aware. Jalen Ramsey also really awesome, had a really impactful game against the Niners too. But you know, the other side of that defense is they lost a lot. They lost a lot. You know, John Johnson off season last year, they really did. Linebacker level for them is suspect.
Yeah. A little questionable. Yeah. All right. What's last one as we're coming down to it. What do the numbers tell you about a Super Bowl prediction, or is it too early still?
I'm really excited that my preseason Super Bowl matches my current Super Bowl situation where I have the Packers meeting the Chiefs. And part of the reason for the Chiefs scared me a little bit early on, but their defense has really stepped up quite a bit. But the Packers, it's going to be hard to beat the Packers. They got David Bakhtiari is back. Oh, just a great left tackle. Maybe the best one in football. No big deal. We'll get him back. Oh, great. Aaron Rodgers already hasn't been under pressure, like at all. Second lowest blitz rate, you know, pressured when blitz rate, you know, in the league. That's just one stat that shows it. He has the highest pass rating when not under pressure. And then you get it better. Okay. Then you add Jair Alexander back on that defense, top three corner in the league. Like this is going to be hard. Like it's going to be hard, especially because the NFC to me is far less. The AFC has some dogs. The NFC, more confusing to me.
Yeah, it is. And more disparity.
Huge disparity. Although the two of the playoff teams are, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if the Raiders and the Steelers can make it past their first games, because that Steelers Chiefs matchup is not favorable for the Steelers. And, you know, the Raiders and Bengals, that one's maybe one that I'm like most excited to watch this week, because I really like Joe Burrow. I don't know why, but like, he just seems like he's like coming up with like angry kid thing going on. I like it. Like he's and also like, he just seems, he's so serious. He's like, you know, he's got that. I don't know. I find him to be like, I find him to be like entertaining to some degree, but
he's a lot like Drew. He's kind of got that the world's been against me thing.
Oh, it's so hard for you, buddy. But like, whatever. Keep playing like that. I love it.
Whatever it takes.
Jamar Chase is like a really funny dad who I met, and Jamar Chase's dad, his name's Jimmy, is like the most funniest person. So I'm like kind of like low key a Bengals fan. Like who knew? And that O line is garbage, and they're making it happen either way, like somehow, anyways. And especially Joe Burrow coming back off that like blown out knee week 11 last year, and I don't know, that kid just like, I hope he wins comeback player of the year. And I understand people are like, oh no, it's Dak, and it will probably be Dak because he's a Cowboy and whatever. But like, vote's Joe Burrow for sure.
And who doesn't like a great come up story, right? The Bengals, and just come on, it's fun to have it. One more. What about New England Buffalo?
This one's interesting because I kind of don't want to see this game. I understand, like I want to see it, whatever. But like,
snoozer.
We've already seen this twice. You know, I think it'll be, I think this is a game where, you know, if obviously the run game, stopping the run is going to be a really big focus for the Bills. That weird first game we saw Leslie Frazier do something that was very un-Leslie Frazier like, meaning he didn't adapt in the second half very well to what they were seeing. They were literally running the same play over and over again. It was not like, it wasn't even a different play. It was mind blowing. Like I didn't understand it. So I don't think that will happen again, because I've seen Leslie adapt so masterfully to, you know, Patrick Mahomes, to all like, every like, that's not normal. That, you know, something else must have been going that we didn't know must have been going on, right? So I think that this will be a nice solid. I want to see Josh Allen pass down the field, like 10 plus air yard passes. The Patriots really did stop him compared to what's his normal sort of ability to do that. And then we saw that with like the Falcons too. They've seen some weird passing performances from Josh Allen as of late. I don't want him to have to use his feet You know, I've seen Devin Singletary like have some really strong games lately, but I don't know if I don't know what I'm watching when I watch him against, no offense, the Jets, who just weren't great against the run. And, you know, it's just I'm going to be curious to see if they can get those downfield passes going. I do think the Bills win this one. And I think that, you know, it's not yet that the Tre'Davious White being missing is going to really hammer them, because they, for whatever reason, the Bills have the Patriots number stopping Mac Jones with play action passing. That was what he was great at heading into week 16, whatever the whole thing, but they had his number. They did not, they picked him off. It was, you know, like a 36% completion percentage using play action. It just didn't work for them in that.
Cynthia, that was awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I feel like I learned a lot there, so I appreciate it.
No, it's fun talking. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Keep up your great work. We'll be watching, of course.
Thanks. Yeah. See you soon.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.